Good morning. As we begin our sermon this morning, I want to see if you might relate to how I feel sometimes, or don't feel. I don't always feel like the power is on in the kingdom of God. Do you ever wonder about that? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus captivates me. I believe he's both God and man. I'm convinced that he died, that he rose from the dead, and he's coming again in bodily form. Jesus is perfect, and his personal sacrifices is honored by God the Father as payment for sins, and God forgives repentant sinners like me who entrust their lives to Jesus. My sins, they're forgiven. And I have an eternal home with him in the kingdom of heaven as a citizen with all its privileges and duties. And I believe these things. But despite these strongly held beliefs, I don't always wake up in the morning and see the kingdom advancing with power in the 21st century. I don't always recognize the handiwork of God, my creator. Sometimes there seems like little evidence of the priorities of heaven on my street or in the lives of my friends and neighbors. For every act of kindness, there's an equal and opposite act of cruelty. For every moment of truth, there's another oily pack of lies creeping in. Do you ever wonder if your Christian faith, if the church, if the kingdom of God has the power to make a difference at all, let alone bring the priorities of heaven to earth? Now, I know God has a greater plan, but sometimes I pray with such uncertainty. I want to push the power button on the kingdom of God. I want his power to be more evident in my life and in the world, and I want to see it right now. Maybe you've felt like this at times. The disciples had a similar desire and an impatience to see Jesus exert his power on earth, in the here, the now. They wanted him to assert his power and do it right away. Listen to this interaction just days after the resurrection from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. He writes, "So when they had come together, the disciples, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" And so there are the disciples. They followed him thinking that Jesus was their Messiah. And then they deserted him as their dreams of the kingdom were arrested and then nailed to a Roman cross. They thought it was over. And then shockingly, amazingly, Jesus rose with great power from the dead. And he eats with them. And he talks with them, and he touches them, and he teaches them. Now we can imagine them thinking at this moment, aha, there's going to be a transfer of power. Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel as the powerful Messiah King that we always expected, that we've been waiting for, that we spent all of our years walking with him. Now is that moment. Caesar and all those other rulers, they're going to yield to King Jesus. They're going to bow before him. They've been waiting for this moment, and then suddenly Jesus is just gone, leaving them looking up at the sky. But he didn't leave them alone. They weren't powerless. He didn't desert them. And he hasn't deserted us. So how do we know that he hasn't deserted us? Well, we know he hasn't deserted us because of the disciples' reaction. They didn't act like people who felt abandoned. In Luke's gospel, right at the end in chapter 24, their response to Jesus' ascension is worshipful and a joyful return to Jerusalem. They do what he said. Their previous lack of understanding, we don't get it, we don't understand Jesus, now is replaced by trust in the powerful work and the certain word of their Savior and their King Jesus. Trust in the powerful work. What work? The work of the resurrection. His death is now transformed with his resurrection. And what is the certain word? The certain word is the promise of the Holy Spirit that will fill them with power. He left them with instructions. He left them with one another. And he left them with the promise to send a helper. We know he hasn't deserted us because of what happens next. Jesus made good on his promise to send the Holy Spirit. And this has direct bearing on our fears and our doubts and our questions about God's power in our lives and in the world. This moment is so critical because what Jesus does is he baptizes the church with the Holy Spirit. He showers his presence on his people. He clothes Christians with the Spirit of God. We read that he established his kingdom by filling his people with his presence. Formerly, there was the temple and God's Spirit rested there and met his people there. Now, the people of God are the place where God's Spirit indwells. The church is now the temple. And so if you're a Christian, the work of the Spirit is fundamental to your story of faith. It's not a side project. It's not an add-on. No, it's critical to our witness as a church. If you look at the case of the disciples of Jesus, they immediately begin to embody a way of life and a way of speaking that was so unique that Luke records they found favor with all the people. People noticed. This was evidence of a power that they had previously not possessed. They acted as changed men and women because they were convinced of the gospel, but also because they were empowered by the Spirit for ministry. They were convinced of the truth about Jesus, and now they were filled with God's power. If you drive down 1A on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, you'll see something really beautiful. Right in front of the ministry center, on the lawn there. Through the hard work of so many, Pastor Chelsea, her team, lots of volunteers, our young people come together for a fun time, for sharing, for prayer, and learning to follow Jesus at youth group, right? They've had to work really hard in this COVID time, but you'll see out there, if you drive by, there's outdoor string lights kind of floating above the ground, and the LED work lights spread out around the lawn. And these LEDs, they look like simple sticks in the daytime surrounded in the grass. But when they're plugged in, they're transformed into bright lights that enable everyone to see. In themselves, they're not much, just standing there. But when they receive power, they shine brightly, and everyone can see everything on the lawn. And this is what the Holy Spirit did in the early church, and what he does now for every Christian. There's no super Christians or no special Christians that get this blessing. No, he empowers our lives to shine with truth about Jesus. And so this is what we pray for you, middle and high school students. We are praying that your faith will not be powerless, but like the disciples, you'll be convinced of the message of Jesus and that you'll know the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. We pray that you'll live brightly with this power so that the open spaces of your life and your relationships, your life with others, that they'll know as they did in the early church, they've been with Jesus. This is what we're praying for you. Think about the people in your lives. Think about your example to them. Think about what's most important. You need God's Spirit to just illuminate the glory of Jesus so that they might say, oh yes, they've been with Jesus. And when we have fears, when we have doubts in the power of the kingdom of God, we have to remember who we're talking about. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead in our lives. We're talking about God, the same God who has the power over all things, even rulers and tyrants like the Pharaoh of Egypt. And who he said in Exodus, listen to what he says, but for this purpose, Pharaoh, I've raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. And the psalmist, he points to God's greatness and his power as the focal point of our worship and of all of our abilities as his people. It all comes from God. The psalmist writes, ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. And so, understanding the power for Christian living requires us to get the attention off ourselves and onto God. It's when we turn our attention to the nature of God that we regain our perspective on what he's done in the work of Jesus. We remember how amazing that is. And then we think about what he's doing through the church and each of us today in the Spirit. So if you think about our series so far, Thine is the Kingdom, we've noted the majesty of the kingdom of God and our place in it through the work of Jesus. We've talked about how seeking the kingdom of God means seeking for the power of God and the wisdom of God to have free rule and reign in our lives, in everything that we do, in the places that we live and the ways that we grow and the places we find rest. We want God to be a part of all of that as we're a part of his kingdom. And then last week we focused in on what it means. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? We looked at the privileges and the duties of citizens. Remember the privileges to pray, to come into God's presence. The purpose that we have of life in this life, that God has given us plans to do, good work to do, to share the message. And then the provision. We have all we need to accomplish what God has for us. And so these were the privileges. And remember the duties, sharing the good news, this message that's been entrusted to us, and then serving one another, giving sacrificially, going the extra mile for others, seeing the needs of other people. These are what we're called to do. And so in this kingdom, Jesus is the great king in the great kingdom of which we're citizens with all its privileges and duties. And get this, the kingdom isn't just metaphorical. So we're not all here together just in a warm church going, well, it's something like this. We'll use that as a metaphor to make us feel good together. And it's not theoretical. It's not way off in the distance. No, the kingdom is coming actively in our lives right now with power. You are a part of the living kingdom of God. And so this power was displayed from the beginning in the lives of the disciples right after they received the Holy Spirit. What did they do? They spoke with boldness and courage of the work of Jesus. They healed diseases and handicaps. They cast out demons and saw visions and prophesied. Their lives changed focus to sharing the good news, to prayer, and to establishing the church. This is not an outside-in change. It wasn't like a haircut and a new robe for them, right? No, it was changed from the inside out. This power even shaped their view of immense suffering. So Paul gives an example of power along with suffering in 2 Corinthians 12. He writes this, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes on and says, so therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What's he saying? When it's not based in my own strength, but the power that God's been given to me through his Spirit, God shines. Paul's asking for relief, but God allows him to suffer so that in his dependence, all will see that anything that's accomplished is done through the power of God, not through the power of Paul. The disciples, they were witnesses to the resurrection. And they had this clear message, the same message that we have, of repentance and a message of new life to give. And they preached powerfully. How did they do it? By the Holy Spirit. It was God's Spirit going before them to prepare the hearts of those that they encountered, those who heard them preach. It wasn't their great preaching. It was the Spirit moving hearts ahead of them, marching ahead of them. And so for you, are you looking? Are you listening to what God's Spirit is saying? Are you expecting that God's Spirit is going to go before you to empower you to bear witness to the love of Jesus? Are you praying with expectation for God's good purposes to be revealed through your faithfulness? Are you trusting in his presence even in the midst of great suffering? God is with you. You see, we, just like the disciples, were changed, and we need to be changed from the inside out. Our wants and our desires then turn to serving others like Jesus. Our lives are have a completely different character to them than the patterns of this world, than the rulers of this world, than the priorities of this world. It's God's Spirit that inspires us to share the gospel, to give generously, beyond what is expected to one another. It's the Holy Spirit that opens up the Scriptures to us so that we obey them by changing our thoughts and our habits and our responses. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to lay down our rights in order to help and serve others. Even our enemies, even those with whom we totally disagree, God's Spirit allows us to love sacrificially and to seek for their good. And what happens is when we lose our focus off the gospel, we start to look like the rest of the world. It's right then that our hearts start to question the power of God. It's right then when we stop following what Jesus would have us do and listening to his Spirit that we begin to say, was God here at all? And this is a belief trap. Are you feeling powerless? Are you feeling spiritually unprepared to deal with all that the modern world is throwing at you? Oh, how can God even? There's so much going on right now. But contrary to our inclination to question and blame God at that moment, it's most likely a loss of our appreciation for the gospel. We lose sight of the weight of the gospel. Listen to this. Jesus' victory over sin and death and his gift of the Spirit expands our soul's capacity for love and for service, and it builds patience and trust in our eternal King. Just think about God's love for you. Think about the incredible work of forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross to forgive every one of your sins. He washed them away. They're not counted against you any longer. You are free. This is amazing news. This is a powerful work in your soul and in mine. And on top of that, he gave us the promise of eternal life that he purchased. You'll be with him forever. The great enemy, death, does no longer needs to be feared. And so we ask ourselves, what can the world offer that compares to that? What are you striving for that compares to all that Christ has given for you? And don't you know that he's able to help you overcome anything that the world throws in your face? Any suffering, he is with you. This is the strength and the weight of the gospel in our lives. And so if you're wondering, where's the power of God? Go back to the gospel. And ask God's Spirit to teach you again in your soul. This is faith. This is obedience. This is love and trust. And it isn't accomplished with your own willpower. We're not saying go out there and try harder. That's not what you should do. Right? This is all accomplished through the work of God by his power. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, and I was with, and this sounds so familiar. Can you say this? He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. He says, there's nothing in me that's making this all happen. I am weak. I am fearful. I am trembling. I can't even say things right. And then he says this, but I spoke in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It's not in Paul or Jeremy or Kevin or you to speak everything just right, right? No, we are expecting the power of God to be evident as we live out our faith. The orientation of our heart toward the things of God is evidence that God is working to form and to shape us. And it's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. There's the proof right there. Often, we're not even aware that God has brought about this great transformation. We're just going along in our life of faith. This made me think about my girls playing soccer. Sometimes we're sitting on the sidelines and watching. Sometimes when the ball's way away from them or there's a stoppage, they put their hands on their hips exactly the way their mother does. And I'll tell you, we did not have hands-on-hips practice when they were little girls, right? And they didn't secretly practice in their rooms just like mom in front of the mirror how to stand. No, they were impacted by the presence of the person they love most in their lives. And this is how we're shaped to be more like Jesus. We're strengthened with the power through the Spirit in our inner beings. And over time, we catch the character and the compassion of the kingdom. Jesus said he'd send a helper. And suddenly we find ourselves not putting our hands on our hips like Jesus, but putting our arms out in service and love just like Jesus. This is what we see in one another as we seek the kingdom. We see evidence of the power of God at work locally. If you're looking to see where the power of God is, maybe come to our Zoom Thanksgiving Eve service where we praise God, we thank him for his goodness, and maybe you'll think to share in that moment a glimpse of God's powerful work in someone else in our church. Hey, I know no one saw what you did, but you gave some money to help that family when they needed it. And I just want you to know that's the evidence of God. Hey, I saw you on Saturday. You were raking leaves over at their house just to help out. Hey, you invited someone to church. I know you've been praying for them. Wow, God is really working in your life. Do you see? As we are going along, we may not even notice the ways that God is using us powerfully. We're not asked to walk alone on this road of faith. Jesus hasn't deserted us. Why? Because we know that we're given God's Spirit and his power. We're given it for worship. Doesn't your heart sometimes just well up within you? That's God's Spirit saying, worship me. We're given it for communicating the gospel. Just at the right time, we'll know what to say. We're given it to understand the scriptures, to demonstrate the gospel's vitality in signs and wonders. We're given it to build deeper unity in the community of Jesus, to forgive as we've been forgiven, to love as we've been loved, to do acts of kindness as they've been done to us. We're given the Spirit to provide for our needs and for strength to face persecutions, abuse, and opposition. This is the power of the kingdom demonstrated every day in our lives, and you can see it. Let me caution you on one thing. And that's to avoid thinking that you somehow control the Holy Spirit or that God's power is something that can be managed or conjured. The power of God is precisely that. It's of God. It's from God. And it's dependent on him. And so he'll act for his glory. He'll act for his purposes and in his timing. We don't have to worry about that. What did Jesus say? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. God's got this. We do not always understand why he allows certain things to happen. Can I hear an amen? We don't get it. But we have the example of Jesus, so we live like him. We have the blessings of the scripture, so we know the way that God set before us. And we have the presence of the Spirit to guard our hearts until we do understand. You know, in the past week, there's been a lot of public reporting about a peaceful transfer of power, which we typically take for granted in the United States. The peaceful transfer of power. It's this helpful handoff from one administration to the next, a change. Our democratically elected government is responsible to serve all of us, and so it's in everyone's best interest to provide adequate support for our political successors in this transfer of power. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to think about our Christian faith as this just peaceful transfer of power from our old self, our old life, to a new life. But remember, in the course of history, it's nothing like this. All the powers of evil conspired to crush Jesus, the King of glory, and to subdue his kingdom under their feet. That was the goal. And guess what? Our hearts, like Judas, were unconvinced of Jesus' goodness. And so we betrayed the love and the trust of our champion. And he suffered and he died utterly powerless and alone. Our souls were seemingly doomed under the weight of our sin. Death would have the final victory. At least that's how it looked. But then Jesus' love vanquished all these enemies, all these betrayals, and he established in his own blood the glorious eternal kingdom of God. He purchased and transformed us from convicts into citizens. He rose to sit at the right hand of the Father and to establish this new kingdom we've been talking about, and he did it with the word of his power. And so we declare there's no other name, not one other name under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. And he sent us a helper. And so if you're feeling, and if you sometimes feel like you're missing the power of God, if you feel like God's receding from reality, he's out there somewhere, but he's not here, consider again the demonstration of power in the empty grave. And thank God that you have the Holy Spirit to guide you to be that helper. Every day we turn again to Jesus. Every day we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right here, as it is in heaven. Every day we pray this, we're asking for God's power to be demonstrated in every way. We don't need to stand looking at the sky because we have the promise that Jesus will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The kingdom is advancing in and through your life and my life in great power. And so until that day, we follow our King and declare with all the saints and by the power of the Holy Spirit, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. May I pray for you. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus' great acts. We thank you for this wonderful gift of your Spirit among us. Transform our hearts. Help us to see with new eyes that your power is at work and is effective in the lives of your people, that the kingdom is advancing, and that nothing can defeat it, because death couldn't hold you, and you are seated in the right hand of the Father and will return in glory. Until that day, we want to be faithful, and we thank you that you help us by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for our final song. And make me whole.
Friends, the charge is this: remember that even when you don't feel like it, the power is on, and God is powerfully at work in your life. Remember, the power that you're looking for is found in God, and the reason for that power is to shine as lights in this world. And if you've come and wondering if there is complete forgiveness from God for you, if you've come in repentance and in faith in the work of Jesus, not your own, then on the authority of God's word, not my own, I declare to you the news that brings relief and the news that brings joy, that all your sins are forgiven. Remember, the blood of Christ never loses its power. And if you need someone to pray with, the pastors here are going to be available outside following the service. If you've been tuning in on the live stream, just a reminder that our leaders are available between services to pray for you over Zoom. We want to be a community of prayer, a community of belonging, where you can share whatever's troubling you and know that you'll find prayer and care. Friend, as you go into this new week, with the blessings and also with the challenges and trials ahead, remember, as we just heard, you are not alone. God is with us. God is for us. Receive his blessing now in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. May he bless you. May he keep you. May his face of amazing mercy and grace, mercy that's new for us every morning, just shine down upon you. And may you experience his peace and his power both now and forevermore. And all the congregation said one more time, amen. Go in peace.